Everyone, this is the Helping Friendly Podcast. This is the quick hit from Saturday, August 5th, night 12. We're getting toward the end, and we're joined by Jimmy, who's at Timber Carini on Twitter, who's a friend who left us for a while in the DC area but's back. So hey man, good to have you back, and thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, real excited to be here. Been a big fan of the pod for, you know, a couple years, and really excited to finally be able to be a part of one of your quick hits.
Thanks, man. And you will you can come back anytime, and we'll do one of these in person at some point in DC. And also we're gonna see the Beards play music again, and there's gonna be all kinds of fun stuff now that you're back in DC.
Absolutely.
So Jimmy, you got to see you saw Pittsburgh and Dayton, right? And then this is the only show of the Baker's Dozen you've seen. So tell us a little bit about your experience in Pittsburgh and Dayton, and then kind of how that, how you ended up at night 12.
Yeah, I mean, I think that initially I had just planned to do the Dayton and Pittsburgh run. I had been to the Nutter Center, was my second show ever in 97. And it was my birthday show, 12/7/97. So the plan was all along to do the 20 year and do that with a good group of friends, and it really was wonderful. And I just done the New Year's run last year for MSG, and I was just kind of done. I was like, I'm not going to go back to New York and see any more fish. I wasn't going to do the Baker's Dozen. And, you know, was excited to do Dayton and Pittsburgh. And then that thing happens where you're sitting at home watching webcasts and you know, listening to shows the next day, and it is something that's bigger than you. Like, it was that first run in fall 97 where I first saw a fish, and you just say, This is something I have to see. It's just one of these shows. I have to see one of them to see what it's like. And man, it lived up to its end of the bargain last night.
Yeah. So how was I was there for nights 6, 7, 8, and 9. And I think throughout the entire thing, from what I've heard and gathered, the energy has just been sky high every single night. What was it like last night in there? And were you surprised by the sort of excitement and energy level? Was it what you expected?
Yeah, so draw back to Dayton for a second. You know, they start that show, and the energy is, like, really through the roof, like crazy bananas in a small room, and you're like, wow, this is why I come to see fish. And then it kind of cooled off mid-set in Dayton. Last night, you know, you start the show, Soul Shakedown Party, and it is, like, it's just crazy from one corner to the other corner of MSG, everywhere you can see. It is just, it's unlike any other time I think that I've ever seen a show, aside from maybe a New Year's show, where it just, the energy is off the charts. It doesn't matter what they're playing. And people, they clearly don't know what's coming next. And I think that that's one of the pieces that we all draw back to when we go to see fish. And it was just so incredible. And so I think that for me, feeling to last from start to finish last night, even through something like Joy, which is an encore that I think most people would say, well, there's got to be something coming after
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I think back to you, RJ, when you said that's the one complaint you would have, is like you get to an encore and you say, well, I want more. There's more after this. But I don't know that I've ever felt that way for an entire show, for the energy to be sustained that long.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about the show. Actually, before we do that, I want to drop in sort of a mix down of reactions that Matt, one of our co-hosts, was hosting a couch tour party, and he sort of interviewed a couple people after the show at his house, and he just got some reactions. So I'm just going to drop that in, and then Jimmy and I will talk a little bit more about this show.
Yeah. Hey, friends, we're reporting live here from my basement in Alexandria, Virginia, a.k.a. the Den of Tweezer. I had a whole crew of people over here tonight to watch the show, and we're going to bring people up one by one to give their quick hit review on the show tonight. So we're going to start out with Doug. Come on up, Doug.
Well, first, I need to caveat anything I say that we're like, you know, looking at fish right now that they're on fire. So we're really grading something between an A-plus and an A-minus. So I want to say that before I say anything else for all the, you know, social media mob and all the fish snowflakes out there. I thought the first set was, you know, it wasn't nothing that jumped out. The sunshine of your feeling was really good. I think that was a great idea. But otherwise, it was just kind of like a lot of songs just strung together. The second set I really, really enjoyed. My only complaint was I thought the song selection near the end was kind of a little off. I thought Mighty Quinn probably should have closed the set. I mean, if I had a joy closer, I'd probably go out and rip my ticket up and piss on it, you know, because that's just not a closing song. But the Mighty Quinn would have been a good closing song. So the Mighty Quinn, Rocky Top Joy, that kind of threw me off. But otherwise, I mean, that second set was completely solid. It was a little just join it. I mean, the entire set list, if you kind of look how it was built together. But again, we're looking at probably A-minus show. And that's only because they've been playing the garden for and trying to not do repeats. So I understand, you know, they're going to have to put what songs they have together. But overall, I think it's a solid A minus, you know, which is pretty good.
Okay, let's bring up Mark to the mic now to talk about his experience tonight, couch touring night 12 of the Baker's Dozen.
First set, I would have to summarize with Cream, Boston Cream. Boston Cream, Cream Boston, Boston Cream, Boston, mind blown. That pretty much blew me away. Second set, I loved the Ghost Jam. That got me to Happy Town like seven times over. And I've just got to say how impressed I am by the totality of the run. Just all of it, A to Z so far, has been beyond impressive.
Excellent. All right, next up on the mic, we're going to have Christina come up.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me. First, I'd like to say my favorite donut is Boston Cream. And I thought the first set was so much fun, lots of energy, but I really felt a lot of emotion from the boys in the second set. So I thought the show was awesome. And that's it. Thanks.
All right. Next, we're going to have Jennifer come up.
Well, that was really fun. I'm so glad that we could enjoy that. So my first comment is about Mike's lipstick. It was very bold. It was bold with the camo. Yeah, Mike, we liked it. Other than that, the Ghost Jam was amazing. I couldn't stop dancing. And then my second set favorite was Quinn, you know, that just got everybody going. So it was fun. Thanks.
Awesome. And then this is Matt again. I'm going to add my quick review. I think I mirror Doug's sentiment where I say it's probably an A-minus show, but within the totality of the run. Not my favorite show. I think they let things peer out a little bit a couple times, particularly in the fourth quarter tonight. But that's okay. Still a great show. Strong Ghost and Light jams. And we'll see what happens tomorrow night to round up the run on night 13. Thanks, everybody. See you soon.
So, Jimmy, tell us about the set one. What were some of your highlights? Obviously, there was a big one, but what were your thoughts sort of about the set as a whole? And then we can dig down into the real highlights.
Yeah, you know, I went in not looking for anything, thinking it was all just kind of bonus time for me. So I loved the flow. I loved how they started early with the Soul Shakedown Party and really got the kind of groove in the right spot. I think that as kind of they went through the first few songs, people were really getting like kind of angsty and waiting for the Boston or the Cream to show up. And so I think that there was kind of some of that going on. And for me, I think that Jabu was a solid first set jam that, you know, that's one of the things they've been doing in these Baker's Dozen's runs, which is doing a lot more of jamming in the first sets. So that was huge. The Fuck Your Face, for me, only the second time I've ever seen that. And that was, I think, that, like, you knew Fish was about to do the big drop. And so that's kind of how I started it.
So that, let's talk about that. There was so much going on. I was watching from home and trying to keep up with the drops back into and out of those, you know, various Boston and Cream songs. What was your kind of take as it was going? Was it just like, I mean, I guess people were expecting something, but obviously not something like this.
You know, it's you and I were at the Mary Tweezer show a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it was like that. You didn't know what was happening, and it felt both right and wrong at the same time, and you were confused and excited, and then the energy just, like, took over. So you're starting with the Sunshine, and you're like, oh, all right, they're doing the Cream, you know? And then you're like, so they're going to play the whole song, but then they will just pivot on a dime and switch it into something else and go back and forth the whole time. And I think it was even hard in real time to track which Cream, which Boston's, you know, songs were being played or teased, how far they were going to go, when they were going to switch it back. And so even for me, I kind of wanted a set list that would show me that afterwards. And then I get the Fish listing and they've named the song their own song. They came up with their own mashup name for it. So I'm still a little baffled. RJ, do you have a way to script that out for me, to tell me how it kind of went back and forth?
Yeah. So according to fish.net, so there was, this is actually kind of funny, because the way I remember it was they started with, well, okay, so I'll just read what fish.net says. More Than a Feeling and Foreplay Long Time were incomplete. Foreplay Long Time contained White Room quotes and Sunshine of Your Love and More Than a Feeling teases. So that's it. But it doesn't really say what, I mean, I know that they, actually, I don't even remember how it started, to be honest. I just know that there were...
So it started with the Sunshine of Your Love.
Started with Sunshine of Your Love. And before, I was, like, ready for that wicked Clapton solo, and then right before...
Oh, More Than a Feeling.
Yeah, then it went to More Than a Feeling. And then maybe there was the White Room stuff in the More Than a Feeling chorus. Or did they go into Foreplay Long Time or Long Time first? I don't know, man. It was complicated. Because he was saying in the White Room during More Than a Feeling, I think, or during Long Time. I don't know. Still confused.
Well, you know, the good part of doing this podcast is that in the, you know, ability to have critical commentary and play a clip, you can just play that whole clip, and then everyone can kind of hear going in and out.
Yeah.
And experience it again, as I think we all will for many years to come. I think I was most impressed by their ability to not make it sloppy, to really nail it, to do the sections and the pieces with incredible justice. You know, I think that people gave the band some heat for the Radiohead cover, which I thought was spectacular. I thought they did an amazing job with that. I was a big fan of all of the Friday Night Show, and I think that I could not have imagined that they would have played that kind of a mashup with that type of precision. And I'm an Humphries fan, so I know that people are all going to talk about Humphries and talk about Donkey and talk about Humphries doing a lot of these mashups and stuff. But, you know, that isn't an area that Fish gets involved in, and they don't hang their hat on that. And so to hear them do that, to see them do that like that, and you could tell they had been building up to this night for this entire Baker's Dozen. And as we see from the Page Relics interview, they've been building up to it for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those who haven't seen it or haven't heard, there was an article with Page and Relics. When was that? Was that 2000 maybe?
Yeah.
2000, like around then.
Yeah.
And he was
during,
kind of, what did
during
he
one of the hiatuses, right?
During the, yeah. And he said something like, yeah, we've always tossed around the idea of doing a 13-night run and calling it the Baker's Dozen and having a night with Boston Cream where we cover Boston and Cream songs, right? More or less.
Right, correct. And then they said things like we would maybe do it at the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Rhode Island or wherever and, you know, really theme it out. And it's just so funny to now have it all actually happen for us right now. And then it makes you think, well, what other are these ideas? Because it sounded like from that interview that there was other ideas of different distinct types of tours and shows and things that the band had kicked around. And maybe that's stuff that we'll see in the coming years. If they're going to take a break in fall, maybe not to New Year's and not come back to next summer, maybe they're going to do something really creative there too.
There's been a lot of talk on just on Twitter the past couple hours about, you know, whether this is going to continue and these types of runs, these types of residencies, is, you know, where people are, the way people are referring to it. But back to last night, there was a lot of, I guess, maybe disappointment from the World Wide Web of Phish about the way the first set kind of ended. I thought it was all really fun. I like Frost, but, you know, I wasn't there. I mean, there's a... the sort of Frost, Son of a Mule, Fire, Alaska, Plasma. I think people thought that sort of fell off a little bit energy-wise. How was it there?
For me, I mean, the energy was there the whole time. That's the part that's crazy. I mean, I think if you'd seen a lot of Baker's Dozen shows, then for you, maybe you could, like, nitpick. But for me, in real time and only being at one, the energy was there the entire time. And I'm also a huge fan of a lot of those songs. I'm a big Jimi Hendrix fan, so To Catch Fire is great, always great. And I hadn't seen Plasma, and that was really, really great for me to see live and to hear Trey play that. I think that Trey comes alive in a different way with these tab songs that they're bringing back and putting into the band, as does Mike when they play Mike songs and things like that. So to see Trey kind of take ownership of the band in that way, like he does with Tab, is really great. And so it closed on a high note for me. And then to start with that Ghost in the second set, I mean, it was, and we'd already gotten the Cream Boston mashup, so it was all gravy from that point out.
Yeah.
I didn't care what they played. They could have played nothing, and I would have been like, well, literally the song Nothing, and I would have been totally happy.
Well, so the Ghost, I thought, was, man, it was like blissful Ghost from the beginning almost, but they cycled through, I don't know, five or six different sort of you know music better than I do, but sort of five or six different themes, all with the kind of major key Bliss stuff. But it just kept going. It was about 21 minutes, but it never went dark or funky. It was just sort of like these variations on this really uplifting theme. That's the way I heard it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that one of the things that people have been talking about this run is that the jams have been different, and depending on the night you see, and people were complaining if that's even possible to complain about jams having too many peaks early on.
It's just too many peaks.
I don't understand how people complain about that, but I think that Ghost was like a really great example of how the band can take something up like that and then just keep it at that level for an entire jam. You know, some of the times they can get kind of meandering, and I think the Golden Age from a couple nights ago was one of those where it just maybe didn't get anywhere, but I feel like they went early to that Ghost, and then they stuck with it through the whole 20 minutes, and it made it for, like, you couldn't get a smile off your face during that entire jam.
Yeah, and some people like Petrichor, some people don't. I thought it felt like it went on for like 45 minutes, and I really enjoyed it from the couch, and the light after that. So that's what, 50 or so minutes between those three songs, and that's a pretty big set on its own. But that like, to me, that song selection, especially because I love Lizards and Silent in the Morning, I don't know. I really, really, really enjoyed the set. But how was the rest of it for you?
The light jam is great. It is like, you know, that kind of soft, fluffy light jam that you want. It was, I mean, I think that they've done a lot of dark and creepy jams over the previous days and shows. And so I think to see some of that lighter stuff and the, you know, it ties well with the theme with Lizards and having the Calypso groove coming and doing those kinds of calls back to early Phish and things like that. So I think it worked really well as an overall piece. I think that the energy just maxed out at Quinn. People went bananas. I mean, I think that I want to hear the odds. I don't even want to hear the boards on that, because I want to hear if you can hear the band singing or if you can hear the crowd louder than the band singing.
That's awesome. I know that from the couch through the soundboard mix, I mean, you could tell that, especially with the lights, but you could hear for sure. People were going nuts, and that's super fun way. It seemed like that was going to be the set closer. It could have been, and then they played Rocky Top. Mm-hmm. I don't know why not. Like, get all the songs out there.
Sure, gotta do them right.
Yeah. I can't leave anything on the table.
And then it ties to this idea of, was there a multiple song encore coming? Did mm-hmm, they get curfewed? Mm-hmm. Or, and a big or here, did Trey want to play Joy standalone and walk off the stage?
Interesting. Yeah. Well, that was that's an emotional song, you know, for me, but I'm sure for others. That I thought it was great. I actually thought maybe they were going to just do the Tweezer reprise after Joy, just to kind of fuck with people.
No way. That's coming tonight.
Yeah, it's coming tonight. So what else are you expecting for tonight, having been there last night and, you know, reflected?
You know what's interesting? I saw that they went with Blazed for tonight, which is interesting because they've already played Blazed on.
Mm-hmm.
People get all into the, like, colors of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know that have they played any other shows where they've done something that has to do with the nitty-gritty ingredients and things like that and colors and stuff. I think that they've really only done stuff off the main donut theme word, right?
For the most part, yeah. There might have been... I guess the strawberry was all... Yeah, no, I think you're right. I was thinking about the... I think you're right. And that's sort of... It's interesting because my only thought, which I tweeted about, was glazed is the most simple of all the donuts. And, you know, where I think everyone's probably waiting for a simple anyway. But I have no idea. I mean, obviously, like, hundreds of people start speculating right away, and then, like, one of them is right, you know? And that's kind of what happens anytime we try to predict anything about them.
It's really great. Like, everybody calls 10 songs during the day, and then when they play their song, they're like, see, I called that.
Yeah, right.
You exactly. Use Google, and you search whatever the theme was, and you started, yeah. It's amazing. I was really thinking they were going to go with an old-fashioned donut tonight, and then you were going to see Anarchy and all the old song, Prep School Hippie, and like everything come out, Shaggy Dog. Mm-hmm. And like, I thought that's what I thought they were going to do tonight, and then they're going to really make you say, you know, don't miss a Sunday show.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I was there last Sunday, and it was really special, especially for, like, the geeks, which is most of us, I guess. But tonight's going to be interesting.
If you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I'm sure everyone will be watching the webcast tonight. So, Jimmy, I think we'll play a little bit of the, or we'll play a clip of the Sunshine of Your Feeling, which pretty interesting, and yeah.
If you're gonna name a song,
yeah,
do you feel like Fish did a good job in naming their own mashup here, or could they have been more creative with it? Do you think that, like, what's your feeling on that title, Sunshine of Your Feeling? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it is. I think it's fine. I mean, I don't think I could have come up with anything better. I think the only other title would have been like Boston Cream, you know, which would have been interesting for posterity. But yeah, I wonder if it was just whoever mixes these after is just like, well, we got to call it something. We're not going to put, you know, 12 separate songs with asterisks and teases and stuff. So I think it's good. I mean, what I was going to say is I apologize to everyone who listened to me try to explain what happened, because I actually don't. I obviously didn't get it right. So now everyone can just listen to it, like Jimmy said, and figure it out for yourself.
And last thing, do you think they'll ever play it again?
Oh, man, good question. No, I don't think so. Which means they'll probably open with it at Dick's or something.
Right, exactly.
All right, well, I'm sure you'll be watching tonight, and we'll be watching tonight, but it's great to have you on, and I'm glad you're back in the area. I'm good. Looking forward to hanging out.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, and shout out to Roe Jimmy, seeing him before the show last night.
Oh, nice.
He said he was going dark. He wasn't going to be on the podcast today, but
no, he's not.
It was great to see him, and to have him around was really awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to see him. He's at the MoMA today, just being a cultured fellow before the Sunday show. So, thanks for coming on, Jimmy.
Absolutely. Take care.
So long to be where I'm going, and I see my Marianne walking away.
I hide in my music, forget the day, and dream of a girl I used to know. Tiny purple fishes run laughing through your fingers, and you want to take her with you to the hard land of the winter.
Thank you.